prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can't prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The Truth Revolution.
Welcome to Truth Revolution. This is where faith and reason meet. I'm Dave. That's Jeff. We're both pastors at Revolution Church. Welcome.
Revolution Church, where your clothes don't matter and you get points for showing up.
That's right. You may even get points for tattoos.
That's points for tattoos. Mm-hmm. You probably get points for just being yourself.
There you go.
You get point. Welcome, Revolution Church, where your clothes don't matter and you get points for being yourself.
There you go.
We just want to know you as you are right now.
Well, because God wants to know you as you are right now.
He does know you as you are right now. Right. There's no reason to fake it.
Right, exactly. And it's not that we come to knowing God and all of a sudden, oh, I got to change.
Yeah.
You know, it's a nudging from God inside of you that from the inside out.
Every once in a while we get some people to our church who do this, right? They come and they're like, I'm in a church now, so I got to act like I'm perfect. Right. And they'll be here a few weeks and they're like, oh.
Why did I do that?
I don't got to do that here. and they'll come to me and they'll actually say like, hey, this is actually like really refreshing that I can like learn about God and ask the weird questions I got in my brain and just be who I am. And they're like, I love it. I love it. And we love it too. So come out and join us. We got awesome kids program, for your children birth through 18.
Can you really imagine walking into heaven being like, being that same attitude? Oh,
I'm here.
I gotta be perfect.
I better act perfect now. No. Like, we're just gonna let God work on us. Amen. That's what we're here for. But yeah, come on out. We got a great kids program. We got great stuff for the adults. Good music, good worship stuff. Just come on out. Check it out for just 2 or 3 weeks in a row. Easter's coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you hit us up for a few weeks before Easter, then be here on Easter. And just, you know, if you don't like it after 3 weeks, then you don't have to ever come back. Just try it, though. People love to have...
you like it.
Love to be here. Mm-hmm. We would love to have it. Okay, so anyway, let's get into today's show. Can Jesus be considered God?
He can.
That's the question. Well, can he truthfully be considered God?
Okay, yeah.
That's the question that we want to explore today. More to the point, did Jesus himself claim to be God?
Some people say he didn't. Jeff.
Some people say he didn't. And all right, Dave, let's just go ahead and admit something that's a little scary right at the beginning of the show, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to admit it. Horrible, horrible things are going to happen. Jesus never actually said, I am God.
Say what?
Do that voice again.
Say what?
Yeah, right. Jesus never said those words. I am God. At least it's not recorded in the Bible that he said those words. So we're like, well, why do you think Jesus is God if he never said those words? Well, we believe Jesus is the Son of God. We're about to tell you why we think so.
Imagine that.
We believe he's part of the Trinity, making up the Godhead. And often what people do, what do they do, Dave? How would you describe this?
Well, often people look through the scripture and they say, there's no proof there that Jesus called himself God. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when in our society, they would expect God to say, hey, you, listen, I'm God.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the way we talk now.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't necessarily look at the way we talk now. We have to look at the way they spoke back then.
Yes.
It's a different culture. It's a different society.
So a lot of people read their Bibles expecting to hear things like you would hear them in 2017.
Yo, dog, I'm God.
For Rizzle. But you can't read a 2,000-year-old book and expect it to sound or act exactly like something you would write in 2017. Right. So let's just imagine we transported our radio show, and you know, pardon this if you don't like the analogy, but we transported our radio show back to the year 1800.
Mm-hmm.
Someone came on the radio show and said, thanks for inviting me on the show today. I'm quite gay. How are you? Now, are they making a comment about their sexuality?
No.
No, absolutely not. This is the year 1800. They're simply saying, I'm happy.
Right.
Because the word gay meant happy back then, right? And so this is what we have to do. When we're going back 2,000 years and reading the Bible, we have to ask, what did they say back then? And what did it mean back then?
Mm-hmm.
Not what does it mean now? And when we do that and we read Jesus in his own culture and his own time, then we understand, wow, he was claiming to be God.
Amen.
So we're going to go through some of these verses here. And let's pay attention to the actions Jesus takes. Okay. Matthew 28:17.
When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted.
Now, this is a big, big deal here. All right, big deal. Don't want to miss this one. They actually saw Jesus, and they worshiped Jesus. And it follows up by saying, but some of them doubted. Okay, who are we allowed to worship?
God.
Are you, well, who else?
God.
Well, okay, but other than God, who else?
God.
Duh! This is a big deal.
Right.
We're not allowed to worship anyone other than
God.
God.
He just put that on loop. God.
Right. This is, and you see this throughout scripture. A lot of times, like an angel will come down from heaven and people will fall down in front of the angel and they're like, no.
The angel freaks out.
Don't worship me, right? Only worship God. And when prophets do miracles, so, and the Apostle Paul, sometimes he does something amazing. People come out and they try to worship him. Mm-hmm. And he says, no, I'm just a human being. Don't worship me. Only worship
God.
God.
Right.
So we're only supposed to worship God. They come to Jesus and they worship him.
Uh-huh.
And Jesus goes, yep.
Uh-huh. Right. He doesn't try and stop him at all.
And actually, there were some people who didn't worship him, but it doesn't record them and say, some people worshiped him, some people didn't worship him. It says some of these people worshiped him, but there were doubters.
Right.
And it calls them doubters. Is that got this negative connotation? I cannot over express the coolness and the importance of the fact.
Give it a try.
That Jesus allowed people to worship him.
Uh-huh.
There is really no other big way to claim that you are God other than saying, worship me. That's huge.
Right.
Let's go to John chapter 20.
John chapter 20, verses 28 and 29. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Mind blown.
Dave, Thomas just called Jesus a name. Mm-hmm. What did he call him?
My God.
He calls him God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Thomas actually calls Jesus God. And Jesus doesn't correct him.
Right. Yeah, you would think he would immediately would have corrected him right there if he wasn't God. He wouldn't have said, because you have seen me, you believe. By the way, I'm not God.
Right. If we're at church on Sunday and someone says to me, hey, Jeff, you are my God, I would be like, stop right there.
Right. Time out.
Time out. I am not God. Don't say I'm God. You need to repent of that right now. That is I even feel guilty. The very fact you said it about me.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is like, oh, you believe. Good for you. I'm glad you believe. So this is again, huge. He lets people worship him. People call him God. And he's like, yes, you're getting it. John chapter 10.
Verses 30 through 33. I and the Father are one.
Okay, now this is Jesus talking.
Mm-hmm.
I and the Father are one. Now let's just, if I say, hey, yeah, Dave and I are one, you guys are going to be like, okay, you're homies, right? What does that mean? Yeah. Like you get along with each other. You ride motorcycles together. What do you mean? Well, when Jesus said this, you got to pay attention to how people respond to this.
Okay. Okay. He said, I and the Father are one. Again, the Jews picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus said to them, I have shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? We are not stoning you for any of these, replied the Jews, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. Mind blown.
Okay. They understood what Jesus was doing, and Jesus was claiming to be God. He says, I and the Father are one. Okay, in the year 2017, that doesn't mean anything to us, right, other than we're homies. But back then, they were like, ugh, now we have to kill you.
Now we got big stones up again.
Right?
Again.
Because you claim to be God, right. We have to kill you. They were actually going to kill him for this, because he was claiming to be God, and they knew he was claiming to be God.
Right, and that word in there, again, the Jews picked up stones to stone him. That means this happened more than once,
well,
right?
Well, that may just have been a preposition. I don't think that. But still.
I think they knew.
You think they knew?
Mm-hmm.
But still, you know, I and the Father are one. Jesus is making the claim that he and God the Father are the same substance.
Right.
He is God. Matthew chapter 9. Let's read this one.
All right. Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Some men brought to him a paralytic lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, take heart, son. Your sins are forgiven. At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say, get up and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," then he said to the paralytic, "Get up, take your mat and go home." Mind blown.
Okay. Okay, this one's not quite as clear when you first read it, but let's just think through what happened. Okay, so Jesus gets in a boat,
right,
crosses over a river. These guys bring him a dude who's paralyzed. Okay, he's lying on a mat, he's paralyzed. Jesus sees him there, and he says to the guy, "Hey, don't worry, your sins are forgiven." Okay, Jesus is like forgiving this guy's sins. Now, we don't think that's that big of a deal, but look, put yourself in this picture. Let's say that you're at my house, we're eating dinner, Dave's there, I'm there, you're there,
mm-hmm,
and Dave just goes nuts like he often does.
I'm prone to that.
He picks up his plate and just starts whacking you in the face. And he starts screaming at you. He's hitting you. He's hitting you.
I'm not prone to that,
but hypothetically, he breaks the plate over your head. And I look at him and I go, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa. Hey, Dave, you're forgiven." You'd be like, "Oh, he hit me, not right? you." Right? Like, this is a kind of a big deal. Like, you want to be the one to forgive him. Not, mm-hmm, I don't have authority to forgive him for that because he hit you. Well, Jesus looks at this guy and he says, "Your sins are forgiven." Like, all of them. Whatever you've ever done to anyone, even so if you've done in private, Jesus is like, "I forgive you for it."
Right.
And everyone goes, "Hey, look, I don't know if you know this or not, but that's blasphemy because you're not God. You can't do that."
Right.
And Jesus says, what does he say? Does he say, "Oh, you're right. I can't forgive him for all that stuff he did alone or to other people. You're right. I can't do that."
It's not what my Bible says.
No. What Jesus says is, "Oh, why are you thinking evil about me?" He chastises them first. Mm-hmm. He does something that only God's allowed to do. Then they think, "Oh, that's not good." And he's like, "Why are you thinking evil?" He goes, "Just to show you that I have the authority to forgive people. Check this out." Then he says to the paralyzed guy, "Get up and walk." Paralyzed guy stands up, takes his mat, walks out of the room. This is pretty huge.
Yeah.
So far we have Jesus allowing himself to be worshipped when only God should be worshipped. People are calling him God, and he's like, "Good, good, thank you." He is actually saying, "I and the Father are one," which people recognize as, "That's how you said I am God." Mm-hmm. And so he's actually saying, "I am God." And then he's doing the things that only God is allowed to do, forgiving people of their sins. He's definitely claiming to be God.
Right.
All right, now we're going to get into the names that Jesus calls himself, because this is another big thing that we don't want to ignore. But before we do that, Dave, what are our websites?
Website is truthrevolution.tv. We've got all of our past shows there. Some truth shots is where you can donate. You can even send us a question. You know?
Oh, yeah.
We love questions. We'll answer every one of them.
We do listener questions quite often. We respond via email to every single listener question that we get. So if we don't respond to you, try again. We must have missed it. But as far as I know, we've responded to every person who's ever emailed us.
Right.
And sometimes we even get them on the show. We put on the show. So we got a listener question. We might go over today if we have enough time.
Right.
But that's truthrevolution.tv.
Right.
And I want to bring up the fact that some of you donate to our show, and this is really critical. If we don't have the money it takes to be on the air, we are not able to bring this show to you.
Right.
Whether it's on radio or podcast, it takes money to store the files, to have the equipment to record. It takes money to get on the air. And so for those of you who donate, who care about this show, who believe that this is important information to get out, please consider giving again. We're running up against a wall where we need to have some funding if we want to continue in this next year. So thanks for listening. Thanks for donating. All right, we're going to be right back on the other side. We're going to talk about the names that Jesus calls himself,
mm-hmm,
as more proof God that he claimed to be God. And then we're going to answer a Bible contradiction and maybe a listener question too.
Right. Our other website is revo.church, by the way.
Revo.church. You got to get out to Revolution Church. We don't care what you look like. We don't care what you've done, because I've done dumb stuff.
Right. And he doesn't look good either.
And I don't look Hey. We don't treat you like Dave treats me.
Right.
That's something you can take hold of. Take that to the bank.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
Did Jesus claim to be God?
He never actually says, listen, I'm God, the creator of the universe. Worship me.
Nope. But that's how we would claim to be God in the 21st century with our technical precision.
But if we want to know whether or not Jesus claimed to be God, we have to look at how he would have done it in his century and in his culture.
Right. For example, we would never look at a scientist from 1,000 years ago and say, he wasn't a scientist. He didn't have an electron microscope, and he didn't even know the earth revolved around the sun.
For his culture, that's not what made a scientist.
If we want to know whether or not Jesus claimed to be God,
we have to ask what a first century Jew living under Roman rule might do if he was the one claiming to be God.
And we'll see in the next Truth Shots that Jesus receives worship, claims to be older than Judaism's founder, and then he takes God's name for himself.
Wow.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Hey, Pastor Jeff.
What's up, Pastor Dave?
I saw a guy come into Revolution Church the other day wearing an old ripped up Nirvana t-shirt.
Like the band?
Yeah.
What'd you do?
I gave him a fist bump and some coffee.
All right. At Revolution Church, we aren't worried what you look like, but we do want you and your family to learn about Jesus along with us.
Check us out online at revo.church.
That's revo.church. 10 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 5 p.m., revo.church. At Revolution, we love other churches here in town. For instance, we love New Community.
Hi, I'm Mike Willick, pastor at New Community. We're the church that loves like Jesus and lives like Jesus.
And what does that mean?
Well, we strive to love people unconditionally like Jesus did and walk in the shoes and represent Jesus wherever we go.
Where are you located?
We're located at 530 East Cloud Street.
And where can they find more information?
You can go to our website at newcommunitycc.org or on Facebook. Our service times are at 9 and 10:45.
Thanks, Mike.
Do you love Truth Revolution?
Of course they do, Dave.
Well, if you do, or...
Or if you appreciate the fact that thousands of people are being taught that Christianity is compatible with science and logic.
Or if you simply love the fact that we hear from people often who say, this show changed my life, I love Jesus.
Then consider a donation.
You can visit TruthRevolution.tv or Revolution Church and donate.
We don't get paid from this show.
But it's our goal to give truth, give knowledge, give encouragement.
And your giving keeps all of our giving going.
Some Christians treat the love of God like something to be reflected, like a mirror. It hits them and immediately goes out, but the problem is they don't feel it. Some treat God's love like a coat. They feel the warmth, but it never goes anywhere else. I like to think of it like a battery. We soak up the love of Jesus, but that energy and love is meant to be used for something else. We receive the love from God, and it translates into taking care of orphans and widows and foster kids. Be a battery for Jesus.
Truth Revolution.
And we're back.
Did Jesus actually claim to be God?
That's what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You got to come out to Revolution Church where everybody treats each other with love except Dave and I.
We treat each other with contempt.
We try to make fun of each other as much as humanly possible while not crossing any lines.
That's why you made me pastor.
I'm just kidding. We all make fun of each other.
Right.
That's just, mm-hmm. It's just, we love each other. And you know, like you get a family and you make fun of each other.
Yeah, a lot of ribbing going on.
Yeah, we do some of that.
Yeah.
But I promise not to make fun of you. I promise not to make too much fun of you your first week here.
Right.
I teased someone whose first week here last week. But they thought it was funny. At least they laughed.
Right.
They might have been faking it. I don't know. We just want you to be who you are. We like to have fun. We like to joke around at our church.
Right.
So that's just who we are. All right. Let's talk about Jesus. He claimed to be God. We already did a bunch of things to show that he actually claimed to be God. But now we want to look at the names that he called himself, because this is a big deal. All right. Psalm 23. Now, what you need to know is Psalm 23 is in the Old Testament. So this is before Jesus existed on earth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Psalm 23 was a chapter of the Bible that all the Jews knew. They would have known this right away.
Right.
And it says this.
It says, the Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
They all knew God as a shepherd.
Right.
Right. And then Jesus actually one time is teaching and someone says to him, good teacher. And Jesus says, well, hold up. Why do you call me good? Only God is good. And they go on, they kind of ignore what Jesus said. So Jesus has said two things. Only God is good.
Mm-hmm.
And every Jew knows that shepherd is a nickname for God.
Right.
Good is God, right? God only is good. And God is a shepherd.
Right.
Now, you got to pay attention to the name that Jesus calls himself in John chapter 10.
I am the good shepherd. He actually, I mean, three of those. I am the good shepherd.
Oh, because
God calls himself. I am.
Yeah.
That may be a stretch, but you know.
Right. I don't know if that's the same construct in the original language. Oh, okay. I can't go there right now, but it may be. But he says, I am the good shepherd. All right. Only God's good. And Jesus says, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
Only God is the shepherd. And Jesus says, I'm the shepherd. In fact, he says, I'm the good shepherd. He's claiming to be God. All right. John chapter 5, verse 18.
For this reason, the Jews tried to kill him, tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own father, making himself equal to God.
Okay. So this, again, what sometimes we call God our father.
Mm.
And when we say it, we're not trying to make ourselves equal with God.
Right.
But back then, when you say God's my father, you're trying to make yourself equal, because mm-hmm. back then it was very, the family culture was a very big deal. The firstborn son was, you got most of the inheritance, sometimes all the inheritance. You had all the rights of your father. So when he says that God is my father, boom, I'm equal with God. And they all knew it. And so they were trying to kill him for that blasphemy because he was using the names of God for himself.
Right.
Now, we're going to compare the book of Exodus with the book of John. I want you to notice what God's name is. Okay, the book of Exodus is the Old Testament before Jesus came to the earth. And I want you to notice what God's name is in the book of Exodus and how Jesus explains who he was using the same name. And then we're going to note the response of the people listening.
All right. Exodus 3. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them?
Okay, what is God's name? That's the question.
God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you.
Okay, so I am is God's name.
Mm-hmm.
This is very special to the Jewish people. I am was God's name.
Right.
And then you read in John chapter 8, and by the way, Abraham was the father of the Jews. So he existed hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before mm-hmm. Jesus was on earth. Abraham was. Now okay. Listen.
This is Jesus talking. He says, your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. You are not yet 50 years old, the Jews said to him, and you have seen Abraham? I tell you the truth, Jesus answered. Before Abraham was born, I am. At this, they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds.
Okay, right there. He actually claims to have existed before Abraham. So he said, hey, before Abraham existed, I existed. So he's got some deity right. claim there. But then he says, before Abraham was born, I am. He uses God's name. Hello.
Wow.
Like, this is massive. He says, oh, you know, God's name is I am, right? Guess what? That's my name too.
Right.
And they're picked up stones to stone and they're going to kill him because he claimed to be God. Jesus definitely claimed to be God. Hey, let's do a Bible contradiction.
Right.
Bible contradiction.
Bible contradiction today brought to you by thethinkingatheist.com.
Oh, great. I like it when they think.
Judges 4:21 says, but Jael, Heber's wife, picked up a tent peg and a hammer and went quietly to them while he lay fast asleep, exhausted. She drove the peg through his temple and into the ground, and he died.
So ouch.
He lay there asleep and then died. Judges 5:25-27 says,
so the next chapter.
Yes. Her hand reached for the tent peg, her right hand for the workman's hammer. She struck Sisera. She crushed his head. She shattered and pierced his temple. At her feet, he sank. He fell. There he lay. At her feet, he sank. He fell. Where he sank? There he fell dead.
So a lot of falling.
Yes. Which in the first one, he was already down on the ground.
Yeah. So which is it? Did he fall or was he laying there?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in our cracked acronym, we're going to use the first C4.
Context.
Context is huge.
Mm-hmm.
When you get in Judges chapter 4 and you read what happened, you read it, you're like, okay, this is a historical description. They're just describing what happened to us. They're telling us. We get into Judges chapter 5, you read verse 1, and it says, we're about to tell you a song that they sang about this event.
Uh-huh.
Now, Dave, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Are songs always factually accurate, or do they express things poetically?
They express things poetically.
This is important. If you come to the Bible and you read a song and you're like, hmm, it's a song. I'm going to get all of the facts out of this.
Right.
You're doing it wrong. Uh-huh. Songs are there to express things poetically, not to give you the brute facts.
Right.
And so in chapter 4, we got some of the brute facts. He was on the ground. She put a tent peg there and boom, right through his head.
Mm-hmm.
In Judges chapter 5, however, you have the lady named Deborah. She's singing a song about it. She makes up this song, and our D for dialect tells us this is poetic imagery.
Right.
He fell dead is a poetic way to describe someone dying.
Right.
In fact, it's funny because it says, she struck and crushed his head. She shattered and pierced his temple with a hammer and a tent peg. It says that in the song. So, I mean, this would actually be pretty impressive if the guy's like up and running around and she like chasing with a tent peg and like hit him while he's like running away from her. No, they're just using the word he sank, he fell, there he lay as a poetic way to describe his death.
Bible contradiction.
All right, that's Bible contradiction for today.
All right. Now, we've done a bunch of names of God. We've done a bunch of situations to show that Jesus claimed to be God. Before we leave today, I want to read another scripture. This is Jesus talking. It says, if any one of you is without sin, let him to be the first to throw a stone at her.
Right.
Well, okay, what had happened here?
The situation was that a woman was caught in adultery.
Yes.
And so they dragged her out through the streets and they saw Jesus. They dragged her before Jesus, kind of threw her down and said, we're going to kill her.
Yeah, we're going to kill her because she's so messed up.
Right.
Now, Jesus doesn't dispute the fact that she'd done wrong.
Right.
But what he does do is he stands up in front of this crazy crowd of people ready to kill her for her sin. And he says, if any one of you is without sin, you can be the first one to throw a stone. And they're all like, oh, well. Now, I don't know about you, but it takes some guts to stand up in front of a crowd of people ready to murder someone.
Mob mentality.
They got mob mentality. They're just destructive. They're ready to kill. Jesus stands up in front of them and says, y'all are sinners too. Right? I mean, he puts this in perspective. I want you to understand what he's doing. He's standing up to protect the person who's done wrong. This is crazy.
It is.
He is standing up to protect the person who's done wrong. This is what Jesus does.
It's his personality.
It is his personality. We do wrong. And Jesus went to the cross to stand up on our behalf.
Right.
So that God wouldn't punish us. So that he, Jesus, would take the punishment instead of us. So when Jesus went to the cross, God inflicted Jesus with his wrath. God punished Jesus instead of us. Every single thing we've done wrong. Dave, you've thought things that were terrible.
Oh, yeah.
You've done things that were terrible. I've also thought things that were terrible. I've done things that were terrible. And every person listening to this right now, I don't care how old you are. I don't care if your name is Marcus or Gary or Phyllis.
Right.
I don't know, what are some common names?
Bob.
Bob.
Tim.
Tim.
John.
James. Latricia. Rick. And you all have done stuff wrong.
Tanner.
Especially Tanner. Right? But you've all done stuff wrong. And what we have to know is that Jesus stood up for us, just like he stood up for that woman who committed adultery. But, and this is huge, he doesn't just stand up for us and say, hey, I'm going to take this all away no matter what you do. He says, actually, he tells us in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Mm-hmm. Right? We have to die because we've sinned. But
The gift
of God. How much does the gift cost you? If I give you a gift, it costs you
nothing.
Nothing. The free gift of eternal life is in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And if I tell you, Dave, I've got a gift for you and it's in my garage.
I'm going to your garage.
You're going to my garage.
Yeah, but right now.
You can have eternal life. You can have forgiveness for your sins. But it's in Jesus, and you got to go to Jesus to get it. You cannot get it anywhere else. You cannot get it from doing good deeds.
Amen.
You cannot get salvation from being a nice person.
Amen.
You cannot be saved because you try really hard. You only get everlasting life in Jesus by accepting his forgiveness and making him your Lord. So we hope today that you'll make him your Lord.
Amen.
That you'll accept his forgiveness. And I hope you'll contact us if you've done that. Come out to Revolution Church or one of the good churches here in Salina, Kansas, or wherever you're at. You know, this is a big deal, and you need to connect with some people who can help you along your spiritual path, because we all need to do this together.
Amen.
Thanks for listening, Revolution Church. Love to have you.